Hail Mary, a Dumat fic written by Raggedy Red and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Matt hadn't actually expected to get this far. They were in the pews, those uncomfortable wooden ones in the center, not the ones with plush cushions at the front, and Jean-Paul's hand was on his, and it was so serenely quiet except for the two of them panting as Jean-Paul put his mouth against Matt's once more and kissed him deeply. Jean-Paul's hands were at his neck, undoing his tie and pulling it hard, and Matt's own hands were clumsily working at the top buttons of Jean-Paul's shirt, the fabric silky smooth and soft beneath his fingertips. Matt had told Jean-Paul he liked the texture once, and it was apparently a thing now. He should probably stop this, or something, before it gets even further. Because they're kissing, and Jean-Paul is on top of him, and Matt is finding himself moaning, and he's pressed hard against his pants and bucking his hips up to get the friction of his pelvis against Jean-Paul's. They're in a church. His church. Which means he's making a lot of bad decisions, if not against God, then against his own mental well-being. But he really, really wants this. And Jean-Paul feels so good against him, and he's kissing Matt's neck, biting the skin there, doubtlessly leaving bruises as he tosses Matt's tie aside and starts to unbutton his shirt with far more ease than Matt is currently doing to his. Not fair. It is fair, all right. Jean-Paul mutters into his ear, and Matt hadn't even noticed his voice leaving his own mouth, which just makes him keen, and his hands shake the lower they get on Jean-Paul's face, and liar, this isn't fair at all. Easy, Jean-Paul says soothingly, his voice like whiskey. Not a horse, Matt snaps breathlessly. Could have fooled me, Jean-Paul replies breezily, and fuck, Matt hates how clearly Jean-Paul now knows that gets to him. Every one of those easy replies, the condescending, the slowness he sometimes takes as if they have all the time in the world, it just makes Matt want harder. Matt drops his head against the pew, and the sound echoes through the building, but he can't even pause to worry because Jean-Paul is grabbing his pants, lifting Matt up by his belt, and Matt doesn't have to see to know that this man is wearing a shit-eating, knowing grin. Fuck. Why the hell does he always fall for someone your hopes can rip him apart? Matt swings his leg up and over Jean-Paul's back, taking advantage of the weight distribution towards his prosthetic to send them both off the pew. Matt, ever a gentleman, ensures that he takes the brunt of the fall, though he's still a bit stunned as he rolls over on top of Jean-Paul and smirks. This is illegal, you know? Jean-Paul laughs, and it's beautiful and melodic and everything Matt can't bear to hear. You would know something about that, wouldn't you, Diable? Matt kisses him, bites on Jean-Paul's lower lip, forces his hands to the waistband of Jean-Paul's jeans, and yanks them down. He should stop. He should really, really stop. He doesn't plan on stopping. Jean-Paul immediately recognizes the moment Matt leaves his right side more vulnerable. His shoulder dipped, arm loose. He knows Matt's doing it on purpose, too, but he takes the opening regardless and rolls them again, sharply wedging Matt so they don't go under the next row of pews. You seriously want me to fuck you on the floor, Matthew? He murmurs. Matt's embarrassed. He's definitely embarrassed. He's perhaps humiliating himself, and he knows if he starts to think with his brain rather than with his dick, he'd stop this right now. He's in a damn church, and he doesn't even give a single flying fuck you, Matt growls. If you would like, Jean-Paul purrs, and then he's pulling Matt's pants off and hiking Matt's legs up and leaning over him, and Matt's answering moan as Jean-Paul thrusts inside him is low and long. Despite having been loosened up from earlier, the pain starbursts in his head, and his mouth falls open as he already starts to lose himself in the pleasure. He brings one hand down to his own hardness, but Jean-Paul grabs his hand and forces it above Matt's head, pinning it next to the other one, before thrusting into him again. Matt has the brief, distinct imagery of being crucified, though he doubts his God was keening and writhing with hot pleasure as it happened to him. And then he hears something. It takes a full 2.5 seconds to register it as the door opening. Matt freezes. His mouth doesn't quite get the memo, so he bites his tongue to stifle his moan and tries to give Jean-Paul his best shit, shit, shit look. Then, when he's finally fucking capable of it, he hisses, "Get out and get dressed right now!" Immediately, Jean-Paul pulls out, and the slick noise it makes leaves Matt senseless for another full second. He barely processes Jean-Paul's frantically hissing back. What? Matthew, what the hell is... Matt scrambles for his clothes. Jean-Paul arguably has it easier since he hasn't fully taken off his pants, but Matt's lost and weak and his bedraggled senses aren't exactly helping his case. He topples over almost immediately, cursing, and Jean-Paul's immediately there, holding him steady and helping him with the pants, one leg in, the other, and he's still pretty fucking hard and flustered and shit! The sound of someone clearing in their throat is inordinately loud. Jean-Paul completely stops moving. His breath hitches. His hands, damningly, are frozen at Matt's shirt where he had been helping button him up. And Jean-Paul is extremely, extremely flushed, if that blood flow is any indication. Matt's own face is hot, and he's trying not to breathe hard, and he's also trying to just settle down, seeing as this should be the biggest bucket of cold ice he's ever gotten, but apparently not. Well, Maggie says from the front of the church where she's emerged, "Fuck, isn't this supposed to be a teenage kid's nightmare? Matt's a grown-ass adult who had long thought his mother dead. But no to that, and no to this, and Jesus fucking Christ, he was having sex in a church, with a man, where his mom is, oh God." She's just standing there, and Matt and Jean-Paul are both panting, and then Matt's brain has the audacity to make him clear his throat and say, "Hey." It's quiet for several more moments. Matt's senses aren't telling him shit about what Maggie's doing, but she says, with a haughty air, "Jean-Paul." Matt immediately snaps his head to face Jean-Paul. "What? Is this... yes?" Oh God, he's going to fucking die! "You too, Matt?" Yes? Did you..." No wonder that friend you mentioned sounded so familiar. Maggie says to Jean-Paul, startling them both. Matt feels the heat spread to his ears. Worse still, his glasses have been long abandoned and his tires. "Mind telling me what you boys were doing?" Jean-Paul swallows. "We pray..." "Please stop talking," Matt interrupts. "Go ahead, you two. Lie to me in a house of God." Her footsteps move closer with easy confidence. "You've clearly done plenty else already." Matt knows she's watching him. He can only imagine the type of look she's giving, especially when Jean-Paul says, "I appear to be missing something. You know each other? Well, this is your church, so I..." "Yes," Matt says, "we know each other." There's another long pause. Says Jean-Paul. We should probably leave..." "No," Maggie says. "No." Jean-Paul echoes, then he nods. "Okay, right, we can..." "I am terribly sorry, ma'am?" "Sister," Matt corrects. "Sister," Jean-Paul goes on. "Maggie, was it?" "Hmm," Maggie says. Then, "Matthew?" He is shriveling from the inside out. His mouth opens. It closes. His legs feel numb, but he's standing pin-tight straight and his body won't budge. He's... fuck. What the hell was he thinking? He's at church. He's in his damn Catholic fucking church, and publicly... oh God, he obviously hadn't mentioned the whole... he hadn't told his mother about Jean-Paul, or about any of it. Him, guys... well, guy. Given Jean-Paul was... is... "Do not throw up, Matthew. God probably won't appreciate adding that to whatever else you've already left here." Her voice is firm, but he still recognizes a gentleness behind it. Odd. Jean-Paul, perhaps, does not notice it. "We are sorry, sister. We can... do not know my prayer as well, but we can..." "Was it your idea or his?" Jean-Paul swallows again. He's sweating. "Was it your idea to sleep here together, or was it my son's?" Jean-Paul chokes on his own spit and begins coughing. Matt is going to pass out any minute now. Idly, he wonders where the hell he'd thrown his cane when they'd first started. Then he wonders just how much Maggie saw. and he feels like passing out again. It's my fault, he eventually manages. Maggie hums at him. So, Paul, Matthew, how about you both sit down? Jean-Paul immediately sits. Mats waits for a second, then follows suit. Both of them are silent as Maggie pets over, slides into the pew in front of them, and then manages to carefully fold herself so her arms are resting on the head of the pew as she faces them. It's quiet. Then she says, "You all did not clean up well. Matthew should have sensed me coming. Unless, of course," she drawls, "he's lost another fight with the building. Or were you just too distracted?" The word "sorry" escapes him before he can give it another thought. "It's not me you want to apologize to." "We are, though," Jean-Paul says, putting a hand on Matt's shoulder, then just as quickly retracting it when Matt stiffens at the touch. "Sorry, sister, though it is, though the circumstances are not well, it is still a pleasure to formally meet you, in capacity as Matthew's mother." Matt isn't sure if Jean-Paul was about to say, "my partner," or "my boyfriend," or something else entirely, but he still feels his gut sink. He really should have thought about this. He hasn't even in himself, he hasn't confronted those feelings of wrongness, that selfish internalized frustration of, "Is this what I am?" He learned to love others all he wanted, but the second he finds something in himself, he's terrified. He's afraid of his God. He's just selfishly afraid. And he shouldn't be. Things have changed since when he first grew up, when those prejudices were instilled upon him, but they keep rearing their ugly heads at moments like this. Albeit, this is probably the most avoidable situation he could have possibly been in. Instead, he set himself up for failure, and discovery, and a whole host of other things. So now he's confronting his own fucking internalized homophobia in front of his Catholic nun mother, who he has no idea if is possibly homophobic, because, really, catching anyone at all in a position like this is bad. So Jean-Paul shifts beside him, and Matt realizes a second too late that Jean-Paul is shifting away so their legs aren't touching, likely because of Matt's earlier flinch. He isn't sure what feeling is stronger, his guilt that Jean-Paul felt the need to do that for Matt's comfort, or his relief that Jean-Paul had in fact done it. "I agree that the circumstances could be far better," Maggie says. "I'm glad we had the chance before this moment, all the things considered. Otherwise," she cocks her head. "Of course, sister. Matty," she goes on, then, "what the hell were you thinking?" He feels himself automatically scowl. "When you speak your next words, let me remind you that you have said some extremely interesting and dramatic things to me in the past. Whatever it is you plan to say, take it down by 2 degrees. Jean-Paul doesn't exactly laugh. He stifles it before it gets to that point, but it's there, and it makes Matt elbow him, which just elicits the laugh and then another, "Sorry," from Jean-Paul. Matt rolls his eyes. "I wasn't thinking." "Or you were, just not using the right organ to do it." "Or that." "Hey, I'm not without my sins or faults," Maggie says. "And perhaps it is sinful for me to be so forward with this observation, but this is one of the stupidest situations I have ever had the displeasure of being in." She sighs, long and dramatic. "And here I thought I'd missed your teenage years." He wilts a little bit more. "Though, if I'm honest, I assume that if I were to ever discover you doing such business here, it would be with Karen." "Well, unfortunately to Matt, that sounds..." "Or Mr. Nelson. He would be the type, as sweet as he is." Matt is too taken aback in his shock to interrupt her, or question any of this, or beg for her to please stop talking. So she keeps talking. Not the extremely nice gentleman I met here just a few days ago. Though the French, too, are... "I would be careful about those stereotypes in the Hall of God," Jean-Paul says serenely. "Unless, of course, you were about to applaud the French for being romantics. That, at least, I would gladly accept." "Oh my God," Matt mutters. Maggie harumps. But Matt is extremely distressed to sense that she's at least mildly pleased. "This, Frenchman, However, it's less romantic, it seems, and more man inclined towards blasphemy. It's a good thing I was born in Chile, then. She snorts. And Matt realizes it sounds a bit like himself. Three Hail Marys, at least, for both of you. Maggie says, Maddie can teach you your prayers. You can stop praying once you have memorized it. Matt's thoughts turn again, and he considers how he could best get Jean-Paul to learn the Hail Mary, and how the prayer would sound when spoken against his neck in that accent. Another three Our Fathers for whatever sinful thoughts you just invoked, Matthew. He winces. Ah, yes, you two better have at least been safe. Matt's going to die. Jean-Paul grunts noncommittally. He's been edging on, flustered, again. That is, don't tell me you need to be taught how to make dental dams. If you'd like, I can. Definitely not homophobic. No, that's not, necessary. I already taught him, Jean-Paul says, sounding nonplussed even as his heart hummers wildly. At the risk of implication, probably, given he basically just confessed to... Good, Maggie says. Imagine you have taught him just as much as he will need to teach you about the church. Matt gives in to the urge to put his face in his hands. We both happen to be good teachers, sister. I need my cane, Matt says. Or, better yet, a nice rope. And a ladder. That is also a sin, Maggie says, though she's actually letting herself sound amused, which is something. Too late. I don't have a choice, he says miserably. There. Jean-Paul says, finally patting his back in his first contact he's given since Matt flinched. I will always have a knife to cut you right down, for the sake of avoiding the sin, of course. Of course, Matt parrots waspishly. Start your prayers, boys. Maggie interrupts. She then turns to face the cross, breathing deeply. I'm going to remain here for your prayers, and I will supervise you only until you exit the church. Then she rises, moving through the aisle and collecting Matt's cane from the floor. She then moves into the row behind where Matt and Jean-Paul currently sit and, with another beleaguered sigh, grabs Matt's tie and glasses. She reaches over, placing them in the aisle next to Matt. Pray, she demands. Jean-Paul elbows him. Matt holds back a curse, then he releases a sigh of his own, pulls down the pew and nudges Jean-Paul back. Just do what I do and say what I say. He hears the literal moment Jean-Paul stops himself from saying what definitely would have been an innuendo, and he clears his throat, then follows suit as Matt kneels. Matt winces. The prosthetic. If you can't knee, we both know I can kneel just fine. So, apparently, Jean-Paul also doesn't have a sense of self-preservation, nor was he willing to hold back all innuendos. Maggie smacks Jean-Paul on the back of the head softly. Pray. She repeats. Matt can hear Jean-Paul smile as he mutters an apology. He moves just close enough to Matt so their elbows can touch with their hands folded in prayer. Matt grins. He can tolerate a few Hail Marys for this.